Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Aren't you listening?
No time for that now.
I want to say.
Overloaded.
Where did my space go?
Where did my space go?
Overload.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, think about how much time you spend taking care of your stuff. I mean, it's those electric gadgets that, well, I guess were originally designed to save time. Well, they often wind up taking even more of your time to take care of. At least that's how I'm feeling today about my Trio. The things that used to be considered luxuries have now become necessities, and as a result, more and more people are dealing with stress-related illnesses than ever before. Well, fortunately, there is a solution to this growing problem. You may not like the solution. You want to eliminate stress, I suggest you start getting rid of the clutter in your life. Well, during the next half hour, I'm going to talk with my good friend, Paul Borthwick. It's a continuing conversation on this very important topic. Paul has written a great book called Simplify, 106 Things You Can Do to Uncomplicate Your Life. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? And we're going to talk about some of those suggestions next here on Homeward.
It's no secret that there's all sorts of pressure in the world today. How do you simplify your life without losing a hold of the things that are really important to you? Well, today on the Homeward broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns will give us some practical tips for doing so as he continues his conversation with author Paul Borthwick on keys to simplifying your life. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Homeward relies upon your prayers and faithful financial support to keep this broadcast ministry and our seminars and our writing all going strong. And you can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Dr. Paul Borthwick. We're talking about uncomplicating your life. Great conversation already. Paul Borthwick, on staff of Development Associates International. It's a wonderful training organization dedicated to character and ministry development of leaders in the under-resourced world. Paul just came in from Nigeria, of all places. Popular speaker, noted author of 15 books, two of my favorite, How to Be a World-Class Christian, and Six Dangerous Questions to Transform Your View of the World. He's been a great influence in my life and, frankly, a great friend. Married to Christy for almost 30 years, 28 and a half. The Borthwicks make their home in Lexington, Massachusetts. I love that accent. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jim.
You know, we live in the most aggressively marketed to culture in the history of the world. As a result of having to process so many choices, uncomplicating our lives has become a real necessity. A lot of us aren't doing that very well, by the way. Paul, you say that we have become a culture where want has become need. And you also say that luxury has become, you know, a necessity and that the optional features have become standard equipment. I want you to talk about that.
Well, the way to think of it is this. We oftentimes will use the language of need about something that's no more than a superfluous desire. You know, we say, well, what I really need cable TV. Well, last I checked, cable TV had no ramifications in terms of my ability to survive as a human being, you know, or I need this or I need that. And identifying it as a want doesn't mean we won't pursue it. But it helps us sort of like play down the heat of the language.
Yeah.
And it's especially helpful with talking with young children, our teenagers, because they say, I need this, Mom. Everybody has one. I need it. And just trying to educate them on disciplining themselves or thinking before they buy that there are some things we don't. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, my wife and I finally decided after a few of the cabinet doors fell off in our kitchen that we were going to redo our kitchen. And we had been pretty stubborn about not doing it, but we decided, okay, we're finally going to do it. And a kitchen, as you know, can be a lot of money. And so somebody came to us and they said, are you going to get one of these special refrigerators? I forget what it's called, but it's a Sub-Zero refrigerator. And if that's a copyright, you can edit it out. They said, are you going to get a Sub-Zero? Well, I looked into it, and a Sub-Zero refrigerator was like greater than the price of my car, right? And I said, why would I get one of those? Well, it freezes down to like absolute Kelvin. So I finally said to the person, I'm redoing my kitchen. I'm not like starting a morgue. You know, I don't need this.
Right.
But because somebody had told them you need to have granite countertops versus plastic. I mean, if you've got a bunch of small children in your family, you probably don't need these things that are ultimately expensive that are going to just get broken.
You're right, but the American mindset says, I need, I want. We're living in a consumerism culture. It's the driving force. How do we uncomplicate our lives when it's being thrown at us? And plus our kids say, I must have, when in fact, maybe they don't need to.
A couple of parents, husband and wife, sat down with their teenage kids one time, and they went through the advertisements on, not a website, but in a news magazine. And they went through it and identified, according to 1 John, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So you come to an advertisement for some, very swanky car, and they said, now this is really the pride of life. And then you have something else that's advertised by a very beautiful man or woman. This is maybe appealing to the lust of the flesh. And what they were trying to discipline their children or train their children to be thinking a little bit more critically about how we're being marketed to.
And I think that's the point. We have to train our kids in this. Our kids aren't going to buy it all the time. I remember one time my daughter, Christy, who who's just recently gotten married, when she was very young, she went to a birthday party at a very nice house, kind of a mansion type house. And she looked up and she said to Kathy, I want one of these when I grow up. Well, she didn't need this mansion. But as a young kid, she was enamored by that. And I think as parents, it's our job to teach and train them that they don't have to have everything, that they can be just fine without it. But it's hard.
But if I could say this, I think sometimes the starting point is not training our kids. The starting point is training ourselves.
You are so right. In fact, it was interesting. I read this in your book. You cited financial analyst Dave Ramsey, who we have on the show periodically, where he said 37% of married couples have some kind of hidden debt, a hidden bank account or a hidden agenda with money that he or she didn't want their spouse to even know about. I mean, I want you to talk about why we need to start telling the truth about finances if we want to uncomplicate our lives.
Well, because you can imagine what happens. I mean, one person might be the primary breadwinner in the house. If that person is spending money without accounting to the other one, there's a whole level of distrust that builds. And it has nothing to do with able to meet financial goals. It has to do with just truthfulness. Because like you said, he says that husbands, more often husbands than wives, husbands are not telling their wives about the money they're spending. So we have a couple friend, and we were counseling them, my wife and I, and we said, if your husband is taking his whole paycheck and making it into cash, there's very little accounting for it. And in my marriage, because of a mistake I made with buying some things we didn't need, from that point on, my wife said that the rule of the house is when the credit card bill comes in or the bank statement, we have to go through every line, and we do it every month. It takes a little time, but when we talk about unstressing or uncomplicating or uncluttering our lives, oftentimes it means spending time on the right things.
Right. That's a good point. Very, very good point. One of the things you say is consider a plastectomy in order to uncomplicate our lives. I can't even pronounce it, but what you're suggesting is that we take some time away from our credit cards, maybe 3 months
right.
or so.
Well, the most radical of debt advisors will bring people to just put their credit cards right through a shredder.
Right.
Because I held up in a group of young adults one time my credit card, which had just had a statement that said, you now have $12,000 in available credit. And I asked them, how much is this credit card worth? And some of them said $12,000. And I said, no, the credit card actually costs me like $65 a year. And it tells me I can borrow $12,000 at an outrageous rate without having to apply for it. It only is a license to get myself in debt. And when we think of a credit card or as money, we get ourselves into huge amounts of problems.
So it's interesting that here we are spending quite a bit of time talking about money. I mean, the theme today is uncomplicating your life, but money really is one of the major issues, and materialism, one of the major issues that complicates our life, and yet we all work for it, we need it, it pays the bills, but it really is one of the issues that is a struggle in most American families, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, and I think that we buy all these gadgets, for one-time usage. One survey said that the average American kitchen has 15 appliances, one of which is always not working. So it adds stress to have to go get you have a toaster and a bagel toaster. Why do we need that? And yet people, on the other hand, fail to take the time to go walk and enjoy nature, go out at night, look at the stars. You know, we fill our lives with stuff. And as a result, we don't have time for the thing that actually refreshes our spirits.
Amazing. So we go on vacation, we have a wonderful experience, then we go back to the stuff. We're going to take a break. Roger, by the way, my house has more appliances that are broken, so maybe your house doesn't, and so you'll make up for that, what Paul just said. Paul Borthwick with us. We're talking about uncomplicating your life. Great conversation day. Some of us need to make some good, important decisions. It may be worth considering that more stuff will not simplify your life. Roger?
Well, that's certainly the case with a lot of people, and I know there are folks who are listening to our Homeward broadcast right now, and they're listening on a smartphone, or they're listening to a podcast that they hear a couple minutes of, because that's all they have time to listen to, and then they go back and listen to a couple minutes more, maybe while they're working out, for example. Jim, I know that you have talked about a number of Homeward listeners who have contacted us and said, boy, I listen to you while I'm running, or while I'm working up a sweat at the gym, or some people have even said we listen to Homeward in the shower, because that's basically the only time we have to listen to it. If that's your situation right now, we're so glad that you're listening to this edition of the Homeward broadcast. Our theme is Keys to Simplifying Your Life, and everything that we do at the Homeward Ministry, whether it's one of our seminars or one of the articles and tip sheets, our Good Advice Parent newsletter, our daily online devotional, they're all designed to help simplify and streamline the parenting side of your world. And we encourage you to check us out online if you're not there already at HOMEWORD.com. There's more to come.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I am so hungry.
The food here is so good.
And healthy. That's important.
Right, Mom. The fried cheese sticks are just what the doctor ordered.
No, that's what you're ordering. I want onion rings.
Now, girls, how about a nice chicken salad?
Aw, you insist on going to the best burger joint in town and then expect us to eat rabbit food? No way. I want a double cheeseburger, chili fries, and the biggest piece of chocolate cake on the planet.
Yeah, well, you say that now, but tonight it's going to be,
how come my jeans are so tight?
I think as a parent, you have a responsibility to God, yourself, and your kids to establish and maintain healthy priorities, whether it be with your weight, your family, or your relationship with the Lord. If you need help getting your act together, read my tip sheet called Getting Your Priorities Straight. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Paul Borthwick with us today. We're talking about uncomplicating your life. Great book he's written called Simplify, 106 Ways to Uncomplicate Your Life. Roger's been telling you about it. As I said before, we live in, I think, probably the most aggressively marketed to culture in the history of our world. And I think it's affecting kids. I think it's affecting families in a really negative way. We have over-choice, as Paul was talking about, and we have under-connection because we're so overcommitted. So we've got to make some decisions. We've been talking about money, you know, the M-O-N-E-Y word. And Paul, I don't want to leave this without saying that, you know, I think sometimes, and you said this, we have to encourage to get the story behind the story. You know, Kathy and I have had this experience, and you wrote about the exact same experience. You know, we look at some of our neighbors or friends, we say, how do they afford this? And frankly, we make about the same amount of money. And then I realized, wait, we do have a giving plan. And with a giving plan, that doesn't mean, you know, I'm not a prosperity gospel person. That doesn't mean that we're going to drive pink Cadillacs. What it means is we're going to actually have to put some money aside to give to the Lord. And we do it gratefully and joyously. And at the same time, we can't have as much stuff. And you kind of write about that, too.
Well, actually, C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, he mentioned the fact that if you are living up to the level of your unchristian neighbors economically, he says you couldn't possibly be living God's way, because God's way would imply that something gets, in his words, pinched out of your life. You can't possibly keep up with the Joneses, to use that phrase, if you're living the way God wants. But I think that's also a reminder to us that our culture defines richness by dollars and stuff. And the Bible defines richness by qualities and relationships. And so it says, you know, what does it profit a man if he's rich towards the world but poor towards God? And what does it help your marriage if you both have brand new Lexuses but you're not talking to each other? And what does it help your family if you do have that brand new boat in the harbor, but you have no time to spend on it together as a family because you're working so hard to pay for the boat payments? And so I think we need, it's a radical redefinition, because if you're trying to live the life of following Jesus, it means that you're probably not going to be able to keep up with your neighbor who doesn't give 10 or 15 or 20 or 30% of their income away.
Right. That's a great point. Very good point. Strong point, Roger, I think. There are other things, obviously, that get in the way. And one, interesting enough, you wrote about this, is sports. You know, we have people in your neck of the woods where you live in the Boston area who, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, I used to be a Christian, but now I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. And that really can get in the way. Sports can get in the way of uncomplicating our life, can't it?
Oh.
And yet sports is great, too.
Sports is a wonderful enjoyment. And as a native Bostonian, I have enjoyed the Red Sox being able to become world champions and all this stuff. But it's interesting, the last time they won the World Series, I was actually out of the country. I was in the war-torn country of Sri Lanka. And they win the World Series, and it was wonderful. As a Bostonian, I was just happy about it. But I realized it had no bearing on my life. And it had no bearing on the difficulties these people in Sri Lanka face. And yet in my country, there are people living for it. Marriages are dissolved because guys won't leave the screen watching football, or because they spend all the extra money on season tickets. And I mean, I like you said, I come from Boston, and we've got two or three great sports teams going. And people don't realize that they are choosing that as their object of worship. And what I said in the book, even talking about my own experience, is when I realized that my emotional state of being was being determined by the outcome of sporting events, something was really wrong.
Right. And yet that is an issue. If we're going to uncomplicate our lives, it doesn't mean that we don't enjoy sports, but we just can't go overboard on it, or that could be one of those issues. And that's the thing, what we're talking about today in many ways. To uncomplicate your life, you have to look, what is making it complicated and cluttered? It could be sports, it could be money, it could be a job, it could be good things. In fact, I was thinking of a scripture in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the scripture, and he said, we were so involved in our God projects that we miss God.
Right.
And so even people who are involved in the church and very worthy things, but if they are so involved in it that they miss God, their lives are too cluttered. So we've got to figure out that's the great question of the day, maybe, is, you know, what is cluttering our life? You say that you actually enjoy the holidays more now that you're living less complicated lives, you and Christy. You were telling me at breakfast today that right around the Christmas time, it's not like you give presents, but you guys go on a vacation. Talk a little bit about how we can enjoy the holidays, all the different holidays, better and more effectively.
Well, I think all the holidays would be looking to ways to add meaning. How do we celebrate the holidays? One of the great examples when I was a youth pastor was this family who, frankly, on Thanksgiving were bored because all they would do is overeat and fall asleep or watch football. And their best Thanksgiving ever, they left their home in nice, comfortable suburbs of Boston and went in, and all five of the family members served meals at a homeless shelter. And it had more meaning because they actually came home understanding what they were grateful for. And, you know, so parents can help direct that conversation so that giving, for example, at Christmas, is not just about the interchange of product, but it's actually giving something. You know, so my wife and I will routinely go through one of these agencies like World Relief, and rather than give each other a new sweater or, you know, some new jewelry, she might give me a cow and I might give her a flock of ducks for some village in China, and she gives me a cow for some place in Mozambique. You know what I'm talking
sure,
about, where
exactly.
They can do
no,
these.
Those are great things. We get those from other people. They'll do that too.
You know, and you know, I remember one time my mom says, what did you get me for Christmas? And I said, Mom, this year you'll be so happy. I said, I got you five pigs. And she didn't know what I was talking about, but she loved it after, because
sure.
She was at the point of saying, my whole life is just getting uncluttered.
Right.
Why add more stuff to my life?
Isn't it interesting that toward the end of your life, you begin to try to unclutter because your priorities are God and relationships,
right?
Where when folks are younger, they're still cluttering. It's a very interesting conversation. You say that the more complicated our lives are, the less time we actually have to help others. You were talking about that family helping at Thanksgiving. You cited a pretty alarming statistic about how complicated the Christian life in America has become. You said that 75% of Christians have no time to minister to anyone else's needs but their own because they're just so busy. Talk about that.
Well, it has to do, sad to say, with church busyness too. We have, the church has become the spiritual mall, and there's so many things to do. So when I say that they're not looking at anybody's needs but their own, that includes within the Christian community. You know, a vast majority of Christian monies given goes to pay for products, if you will, or services that Christians consume rather than beyond themselves. And so we are so busy, though, that you know, we're trying so hard to be the perfect families, and we're trying to meet up with all these demands of our society that we really don't have time to look beyond ourselves, which, back to the earlier conversation, might be the best way to build character and build relationships in our young people.
Yeah, you know, it really may be wise for us to take a blank piece of paper and say, where do we want our kids to be when they become adults? We want them to be responsible adults who love God and who actually serve God. And what is going to get them there? And we may have to make some pretty drastic changes to our schedule and even, frankly, to our finances to help them become that kind of a person with character and who have a servant's heart. Great input today. Paul Borthwick, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Paul Borthwick here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been discussing some keys to simplifying your life, and Paul has written a number of great books, so the one we're talking about today is called Simplify, 106 Things You Can Do to Uncomplicate Your Life. And this is a book that's very, very easy to use, very practical, and Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends it. If you'd like to learn more about Paul and his writings, go to homeward.com, and you'll find that his name is hot-keyed, as they say, today here on the website, and that'll link you to more information on Paul. Jim, there are parents who are listening to us right now saying, wow, I think we might be moving into the danger zone here, especially our kids. What are the warning signs? What are some of the dangers we should be looking for?
Well, I think there's a lot of warning signs. One is that our relationships aren't as strong or intense as they used to be, and because we're too busy. You know, we're really not focusing in those right priorities, if you would. And so I think that's one of the issues. Another issue that I see is spiritual life. I know that when I'm too busy, I tend to let my spiritual life go. I let my spiritual disciplines go. And frankly, that's a problem, because when we don't live with our spiritual disciplines, then we're not nourished spiritually. You know, for example, I don't think it's all about discipline only. And sometimes we can become legalistic with this. But frankly, if I'm not working my spiritual muscles, if I'm not spending time with God, then, you know, I'm going to lack in my spiritual life. And frankly, I'm going to burn out. So a lot of us are so busy doing all these important things that we burn out spiritually because really we're not nourishing our own spiritual life, or we're not tending that fire that, you know, is burning within us, or at least was once burning within us. And I think that affects our family in a huge way when we're too busy. Sometimes we're so busy even doing good things like good programs and good games and lots of activity that we really are sacrificing our spiritual growth as a result. And I think we need to rethink that and perhaps kind of do a course correction in our family life. Now, I'm hearing more and more parents who are telling me that they're concerned about their kids' spiritual growth. That's a big thing to them. And then I ask them a question. What are you doing about it? And I sort of get sometimes blank stares or kind of their head shake and say, well, what should we be doing about it? I'm not telling people what to do. I'm simply saying, do something. We know that when kids have their parents speak spiritually into their life in a positive way, not in a toxic way or preachy or lectury or whatever, but when they do that, that kids will thrive.
Amen to that. And we are here at Homeward to help you as a parent or as a grandparent create an environment in your home where kids will thrive. And when you think about the uncluttering, at the start of the program, you heard several references to a social networking site called MySpace. You might remember when MySpace was a big deal. They went through a huge uplifting when the site became very popular. Then it went way, 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 way down. And they had to kind of unclutter and throw some things out. Well, now it's starting to make a comeback because they uncluttered and they simplified their lives a little bit. We can do the same thing spiritually, and it's important for us as parents to set the tone in our homes for our kids. There may be activities that you're pursuing and going hard after right now that you need to take a step back away from. There might be some other things that you need to put a little more pressure on, but you, mom and dad, can make the difference here and set the distinctive. Whether you are married and together or co-parenting, this is so important for mom and dad to set the tone, and Homeward is here to equip you with the resources you need. Check out our online resource center today for help at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.